Welcome to the New American Weekly with Kate Daly. Let's get right to the most pressing headlines of the week. It's not about the right or the left, just about the truth. Let's do this. Hi there. Welcome to the New American Weekly. I'm Kate Daly, your host, and so happy to be with you. Let's go grab those big headlines from the week and examine maybe some of the more important ones, the takeaways, the things that we need to know. Get over to thenewamerican.com. You're going to find some excellent reporting. Boy, they have so many great articles up right now. I can't even tell you. Thenewamerican.com. And I've found over the course of my career that the real balanced reporting, minus all the adjectives to tell you how to feel about a story, to tell you how to feel about the news, you don't want that. You want real reporting. This is what happened without the adjectives. And that's what they do. They nail it every time. So thenewamerican.com for actual reporting. You got to love it. Welcome to the show. And there's a couple of things I want to go over, of course. I mean, my gosh, there's 50,000 headlines we could talk about this week. But I want to kind of peruse some of the more important ones. And I feel like one of the most important ones this week was actually the case involving the U.S. District Court judge that ruled earlier that completely prohibiting illegal immigrants from possessing firearms is a violation of the Second Amendment. The ruling issued on March 8th by the Obama-appointed district judge, Sharon Johnson Coleman, pertained to the case of an illegal migrant. Now, I'm sorry, I don't call them migrants, okay? And it's just an illegal. They're here illegally. They are not to be in our country. We have ICE to usher them out when found. And so it's always interesting to me the words they're attaching to this over and over again in the media to teach us how to feel about it. But he was charged under Title 18 of U.S. Criminal Code, a measure preventing illegal aliens from possessing firearms. See, I almost did it again. So he had no criminal history of improper use of gun and therefore, according to the court, did not present a public danger when exercising his Second Amendment right in Chicago in 2020. Now, this is an important case. We've got the border blowing up on us. We've got basic invasion into this country that the mass media sidesteps daily, don't they? And we have this case. Now, this case has kind of an interesting point to this, and I want to tell you about an interview I had with Suzanne C. Sherman, who is an attorney, constitutional attorney, and she's fantastic, by the way. She has a book, Federalism, How Decentralization Can Save America. Decentralizing the Feds Can Save America. And there was an interesting point in which we were talking about this case and talking about, and I was kind of dialing this down. And here is an excerpt from that. Here we go. We're going to ascertain whether or not we're applying this constitution to you, but you're not even a citizen of this country. So we're using our constitution to then do a court case around the fact of caring or not caring. But they should have just been deported anyway. That I mean, his legal status. Why are we applying our constitution to somebody from another country who needs to just go back to his country?
Brilliant. What you just said, we are applying. Why are we applying this to you, or why are we not applying to you? That is the crux of the issue. To whom,
right,
is the Second Amendment supposed to apply? Not to any gun, not to any person, the general government only. They have zero authority. This is right. It was implicit. It was in the ratification conventions, in the debates. It only applies to the general government. I wrote an article about that, mm-hmm. and that's included in my book, Federalism, and I call it How Heller Botched the Second Amendment. And that was considered a tremendous victory
right.
for gun rights advocates. But in fact, it was the exact opposite, because what it really did was handed over constitutionally, supposedly, the regulation of firearms to the federal government. Because
right.
Scalia said it applies to handguns. It doesn't have to be linked to your service in the militia, when the truth of the matter is the Second Amendment is there to clearly, explicitly, unequivocally tell the general government firearms is hands off to you. End of story. And you hear people. People say, well, does that mean I can have a nuke? It doesn't mean what you can have. It doesn't apply to individuals.
Right.
It is a restriction against the general government. It is not a right. It is not a right that is subject to regulation. It pre-exists to the Constitution. That is what people are missing. And you don't hear it in the debates on the media.
Wow. It was an interesting conversation, for sure. And bringing light to the difference between the state constitutions, the federal constitution, the state constitutions. I brought up later, you know, what Illinois might do is going to be contrary to what Texas might do. And we were talking about the immigration system, right? And we were talking about the invasion at the border. So in other words, saying, well, Illinois is going to do what Illinois can do, and I want Texas to be able to rebuke the feds at all costs to, you know, support their border. And so it reminded me actually of Larry Flint and Penthouse. You had to allow Penthouse to be there in order to have your free speech intact as well. We have to allow free speech, even though I despise porn. So there, in America, you can move from state to state. You can go to a state that that is a respecter of our God-given rights. Or you can live in a state that does not, and that the importance of those state constitutions, the people must be willing to consistently make sure that that constitution is coming from a representative republic. We're not a democracy, and that also that that we are looking at it from a point of view that state is. That state's constitution is the most important thing, because we're going back to state sovereignty, looking at the states and what they have to do. When they passed the abortion thing, remember this was like a year ago, and everyone was thinking, oh, it's over, you know, Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade actually was not a law. It was an opinion by the court, but it was not a law. Could be looked at as a precedent, still not a law, but it really was about the state of Texas. And the states all along, this whole last, 50 years, could have done what they wanted to do when it came to abortion laws. But we were under the delusion from the helpful media and the government that states couldn't do anything because of Roe versus Wade. So the big story was Roe versus Wade was reversed. But in actuality, a state could have done what they wanted to do. There was nothing holding them back, in other words. So all the people that were campaigning on pro-life, I'm very pro-life, right? All the people campaigning on pro-life could have done something, could have really pushed the issue in their states. But they almost like used it for election purposes, right? That way, you know, someone's on your side, you know, they're on the right, you know, they're conservative if they talk about being pro-life, but they didn't do anything to secure being pro-life in the state and stood by and allowed people to create these laws for abortionists. And it wasn't the case the whole 50 years. So people missed that. They didn't realize that we had the power all along. And it wasn't until last year, you know, the people like to say, well, it wasn't until last year. No, we had the power the last 50 years. But this is the kind of job that the media does on us, the kind of job that the government does on us in trying to get us to think that not only a Supreme Court decision is a ruling, it isn't. It's an opinion on a case state, because the country is only made up of states. and that the other thing is that that those rulings are not laws. The Supreme Court cannot make a law. Congress can make a law, but the Supreme Court cannot make a law. And so she was right in stating the importance of those state constitutions, because it's very, very important that we realize how important those are. And I don't think many people do, actually. I don't think they actually get that. So when I come back, I want to talk about the First Amendment, TikTok. There's a couple of things I want to cover. I have a different idea about TikTok I'll share with you. And also the First Amendment case that's making a lot of waves, too. And there's a lot to talk about with that. I'll be right back on the New American Weekly with Kate Daly.
Can you believe after all the recent violent protests, looting, and destruction, some communities are considering either defunding or abolishing the police? If you agree that now is the time when police protection is needed most, then it's time we stand up and support your local police and the communities they serve. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet. That's 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet today.
Welcome back to the New American Weekly with Kate Daly. So glad to have you listening. And text Birch Gold. You know, you probably have your phone in your hand, I'm guessing. All you have to do is these six digits, 989898, and then text my name, Kate, K-A-T-E. This is a great piece of advice for you that I'm giving you because this is free information. And for you to shore up your IRA, your savings, your retirement, all those things you have hanging out there before they implement digital currency, you're going to want to shore those up with gold. And did you know that it's free to do that? Yeah. So that's why I love this. So I want Ron Paul. I've met with Ron Paul many times, interviewed him many times. He is fully behind Birch Gold, loves Birch Gold. Steve Bannon loves Birch Gold. And I do too. I really love the way they do things. They're red pilled. They're incredible. And you are going to get great gold and silver from them. And they are just incredible. Their delivery is fast and it's impeccable. And then also they can help you with reassuring getting all of those things backed with gold in case they try to do a big wipeout, which you never know. You just never know what's coming. Always be prepared for everything. The USA in news yesterday was warning that water systems could be down. Water systems could be hacked, but they know exactly who's behind it, China and Iran, and they know the names of the groups. And they say that they're pre-positioning themselves for some sort of hack on our water system, which, to be honest, you know, with a history of false flags and things that are blamed on others, I have to wonder who's really behind this or who would be really behind this. But the warning is the same, and the warning could result in something that we would have to suffer. So make sure you have water. Make sure you go to Birch Gold, get your things shored up with gold and silver. Make sure that you are ready to go for whatever kind of chaos ensues, because you just never know what's going to happen next. That's the scary part of this whole equation. Just never know. And so may always make sure you have enough water, barrels of water, water bottles, whatever, make sure you have enough food. Go to preparewithkate.com and they have the best deals. You can get $200 off on a 3-month supply. But just make sure you have enough in your home to withstand whatever can come. Election years are kind of known for their, you know, unpredictability. We'll just go with that. Unpredictability on what kinds of schemes, what kinds of things are happening. So it's just really good to get prepared. This is a good time to do it. So the case, this is an interesting case, heard March 18th. And this is Murthy versus Missouri. And Murthy, Vivek Murthy, is a U.S. Surgeon General. And this case ensued because of whether the federal government's direct communication with social media platforms found in emails, all kinds of coercion happening from the federal government, right? Specifically about online content relating to COVID-19. Now, in your search engines, they're still calling this a pandemic and a public health emergency. But I actually doubt that very much. In fact, the information that they were so hard-pressed to get out, I'm not sure it actually saved anybody, to tell you the truth. I know that with the information I got out, the frontline doctors I spoke with, the really good health information about what to do if you landed in the ICU, which is really where people were dying. They weren't dying on the street, right? Was basically the information that went out. I got all kinds of letters. I got all kinds of thank yous for saving my loved one or helping me through that. Because we did not follow the protocols and we ended up walking out of that hospital. My own husband, they tried to put him under the protocol. I would not do it, refused, and walked out of the hospital with my husband. And he even played golf on the fifth day. And all we did was a basic vitamin overload. You know, we did vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, and NAC, and got him out of there. We did not put him on the government recommended protocol. But all everyone ever heard from the AP News, Reuters News, those two outlets control all news, that goes out all the way down to your local news. It was parroted by them, and then also the health departments across the country, your mainstream news, and all your politicians got on board with the government narrative of get the shots and follow the protocols. And when I was, you know, on the air every day and kind of looking at what was happening, and I thought, people are not understanding that this protocol is very dangerous, the same one that they wanted to recommend. Well, in this particular case, the government's case was that they should have the right to control the information because, and I can't make this up, I quote, doing their best, unquote, to get us the facts. Doing their best. First of all, the government is not in charge of the information highway. And when it comes to your health, the government is not in charge of your health. Just because they called it a public health emergency, they can call it whatever they want. It didn't make it true. All right. So we have a problem in the fact that we on social media wanted to be able to pass along better information than what the government was giving out, actual good information, as opposed to the government, as opposed to the health departments, as opposed to the media. Okay. And it was an uphill battle already, because you were dealing with people with this deluge of information coming from those sources I just named, thinking that that was the truthful information. Well, it wasn't. I got a lot of letters saying, thank you for saving my loved one, okay? Frontline doctors overwhelmed with letters, thank you for saving my loved one. People like Peter McCullough, all these people that were outspoken, okay? Even RFK Jr. The government... did they receive letters? Did the AP News receive letters? Did your local newscast or news outlet receive letters for thank yous for just parroting and repeating AP and Reuters news on the information that the government said they were doing their best to get to us? You know, we as individuals in this country can get our own information. We can go to our health professionals. We can talk to the people we choose to talk to. In a free country, we really shouldn't even have public health. Public health should not exist. In a free country, you should be able to go to the doctor of your choice and not be locked down by a health department and not be locked down by a bureaucratic group of politicians. The fact that we locked this country down with, I think it was 15 to 22 deaths that they claimed came from COVID at the time. And later on, by the way, later on said that they probably weren't COVID. I don't know if everybody realizes that. Now in 2024, they're saying, oh, treat it like the flu. Yeah. So what information, if you even want to go there with what they're saying, that they have to have this need and desire and quest to control the information. Looking back, what did they do for us that was actually beneficial? What did they do for us? They hyped it up, scared everybody to death, had TV experts on that were paid to be there. What did they actually do for us? They claimed this health emergency was going on, locked down states before they even had a single case. I know, I was one of them. I mean, I was in a state where they locked it down without a single case, okay? So they claim that they have this right because they have a hold on correct information, which we know isn't true, obviously, because they're reneging on everything that they told us. They've even come out and basically said it's the flu. So everything they said did not turn out to be true about what happened to us. Yet the case is about the fact that they tried to coerce, to get this information, right, to us. Okay. There is a big, big problem with that. And I'm going to talk about the bigger thing not talked about. There's even a bigger angle that's not talked about in that case, this First Amendment case. Be right back. The New American Weekly with Kate Daly.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Go to JBS.org and join us in restoring this great nation.
Welcome back to the New American Weekly. How are you today? Man, I hope you're doing good. This is just, we're getting to the headlines. That's what we're doing here, which I love. And getting to the most important things you need to know about the week. If you didn't have time to peruse the headlines, which, you, by the way, nowadays you got to read the articles because the headlines, not truthful. Oh boy, have I found so many evidences of this as I go through the news daily. But with that being said, make sure you get the best supplements. You know, there's really just over 80 companies that do natural supplements that are even worth taking a look at. But only about three of those are actually worth buying from. And one of them is ActivateFIQ.com. ActivateFIQ.com. Put in the code Kate and get the bone broth IQ, the bone broth supplement. You can get copper cream. You can get magnesium, a sleep one that is wonderful. It doesn't put you out the next day. I'm talking the best supplements because they know how to absorb into the body. Your body recognizes what's in these supplements. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Go to ActivateFIQ.com and put in the code Kate to get your savings. But if you're, don't buy over-the-counter supplements anymore. They just don't work like something like ActivateFIQ does. And I know you don't want to waste your money. So ActivateFIQ.com. So looking at this case and kind of trying to look back and reflect on the last 4 years, and this case really and truly is about whether the federal government's direct communication with social media platforms is something that they're allowed to do in some sort of emergency. And can they control the content by saying that if I pass along a news article about ivermectin, that they can report that it's fake news? Now, I've used ivermectin. It's one of the safest medications since the 1960s that you can take. Now, what's interesting is that the government won't agree with that statement because their statements have been engineered to make it look like that can't solve anything, even though it's been used since the 1960s and has very little side effects and is very, very safe. So they demonized anyone with any other information. And lots of wonderful doctors were coming out, frontline doctors, talking about what was actually working so that somebody could walk out of the hospital with their loved one. And we, the American people, have the right to peruse any information we want to decide if it's for us. But back in 2020, the hospitals were really taken over. Most people don't realize that. They received a lot of COVID money. And then, of course, everything came from administration down, top down, on the protocol that they were supposed to use and going to use. Otherwise, if they didn't use that protocol, they would be subject to litigation when people lost family members. But as long as they were following the government protocol that wasn't working, because the death rate in the ICU was high for pneumonia, which is, I think, really what it was, is that they decided that they would remove the litigation angle if they followed it completely. So the hospitals, that's why they were so adamant about it. We were not allowed to bring in any new information. We were not allowed to go to the doctors that we chose to go to or trusted in this scenario, all due to COVID public health emergency. And honestly, they couldn't even prove that we were under an emergency. We treated it like an emergency. Was it really? Were people just dying in the streets? Right? All the postal workers that could still work, the Amazon workers that could still work, Costco workers that still went to work, Walmart workers that still went to work. You didn't see them peeling off, right? You didn't see them dying. And so there's a lot of evidence now looking back over the last 4 years that we were duped, especially when the CDC came out and said, oh, treat it like the flu. Remember the flu that disappeared in 2020? Treat it like that. And we as a populace have to learn a really big lesson now. We have to actually look at this and wonder what in the world, why we fell so hook, line, and sinker for this. Because there was really no evidence of the actual emergency, even though we called it an emergency. So that's a problem, right? And of course, did this violate the First Amendment rights of private citizens? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It violated our rights to pass along, share information to people we trust and people that wanted it from people that they trusted. And they deemed everything a fact that came from the government. And if it didn't come from the government, it wasn't a fact. They do not have the power to do that in any way, shape, or form. To control the information. Here's Ketanji, one of the worst judges we've ever had on the Supreme Court, probably the most ignorant. If I'm being honest, you can't believe the things that come out of her mouth. But here we go.
Your view, has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods?
Justice.
I mean, hamstringing the poor government, the weak, poor government that was just trying to save us? A Supreme Court judge telling us that if they don't have complete control over social media, that they can't do the important work of saving us because they hold all the cards, the expertise, and no one else knows a thing except for the government. And the government has the right to declare what is fact and what is not. That's what this case is about. Now, I want you to also understand what's not being talked about in this arena. They're going after social media, which is really interesting because this is reminiscent of the 2019 Zuckerberg trials, right? Hearings where he was rebuked ever so slightly, rebuked for the things that Facebook was doing at the time. And of course, the only thing that came out of that was an apology. Nothing else, just an apology, which is very interesting because do we realize that Facebook is pretty much owned by the government? I think created by the government. It was actually the whole program of Facebook was called LifeLog. And it was shut down and Facebook came into existence with Zuckerberg as the private entrepreneur story attached to Facebook. I think it's a story. And this is why there was nothing done about Facebook. It's just an apology at the end. And that was it, is because the whole drama and circus of the hearings themselves, the congressional hearings, were to make it look like Facebook was a private entity. It's not. These things are already heavily controlled by government, not just with COVID, but with everything. Okay. So COVID just blew it up on steroids because certain things were diminished and certain things held as facts with absolutely no evidence behind the fact that they could call something a fact. So it blew it up, but they were already looking at content, controlling content, and these all came out of programs for that the intelligence branches did, like LifeLog. So I think it was created, funded, paid for by us, but we didn't know it. And these entities are there to be made to look private, and they're not. They're not private. Even in this scenario, they are not talking about the companies that are actually not private. So kind of interesting that they are not going there. What they're doing is they're taking the conversation and they're dragging it, the debate, over to a place that says a compromise has to be made on the levels of safety that the government can use when they want to control information. Now, the entire debate shouldn't even be happening. That entire conversation shouldn't be happening. But this is how they get compromise every single time and call it compromise as if it's a good thing, is to get people to say, okay, we're not supposed to do this, but come and compromise and give us something. And so this will end up where they get layers of safety, quote unquote, layers of government control out of this when they shouldn't have had it from the very beginning anyway. That's our problem that we're not seeing. The other problem is that these companies are owned. I do not think Elon really owns X. I think X is coming out of our government, to tell you the truth. And I think this is why it was so easy to do. Because you're telling me that no one at Facebook and no one at any of these social media companies had a thing to say when the government wanted to step in and step on their toes and tell them what to derive as fact or not? Come on, they were more than willing. In fact, they were so willing that it was grotesque how willing they actually were in this case scenario. So I don't buy it for a second. I think the government has always been controlling this. So I will be right back on the New American Weekly. Stay with me. It's getting good. Be right back.
Alliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, the New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Welcome back to the New American Weekly with Kate Daly. I'm so glad that you're tuned in to get this briefing, if you will, on the headlines of the week, the most important things that you should probably know. And go to thenewamerican.com. They do have the most phenomenal podcasts and also reporting that I've seen. Also, visit activatefiq.com. Code word is Kate. And of course, Birch Gold, 989898. Text that number and then just text my name. Kate, K-A-T-E, so simple. And you'll get some wonderful free information. All right. So talking about this case, this First Amendment case, kind of hinging on the fact that the government would like to tell you that they are the only purveyors of good and solid information, that that they're the only ones privy to how to present facts and also solve anything that's going on. And they did so in the case of this being a public emergency, which if you really looked around, if you really saw with your eyes what was going on, there really wasn't much of an emergency actually happening on the ground. Okay. In the ICUs, people were dying from the protocol that the government insisted was the right protocol to give you if you ended up, I think, with pneumonia in the ICU. And this new protocol was remdesivir, a ventilator, and those two things together were a nightmare. They were a nightmare to try to survive. The government decided to get behind this information. So the whole case is hinging on whether or not, two things, whether or not their information, you know, they want to censor because they think they're the only ones with the facts. Also, they think that they're the only ones, like I said, quote, doing their best to get us factual information. Why is the government in charge of that? Why do we think that the government could be in charge of that? We as individuals have the right to have any information we want. We have the right to peruse, to share, to say, this is who I trust as a doctor, family and friends. You might want to go to them because they know me and they might go to that doctor. And why can I cannot say that on social media? You know, we have to also realize that social media is owned, that it's very clear that social media, from the advent of social media, paid for, funded by everything, by the government. And this is why no one at any of these websites, at any of these social media websites, fought the government at all or even questioned when the government said they wanted to take over what was a fact and what wasn't. The government's never done anything right. What have they actually done that's worked out to our benefit? The one thing that they're very good at is stealing our liberty, to tell you the truth. That's the one thing they're very, very good at. They scheme, they lie, they do everything in their power to take away liberties, okay? God-given liberties in this country. And their whole MO, and I don't know if people remember this, but when we go to the COVID year and everyone thought we were in an emergency, Dr. Fauci came out in January before they even named said mysterious thing. Remember, they called it a mysterious thing. They didn't know what it was. But two things happened. Number one, they had the protocol for said mysterious thing. How do you have a cure or a protocol for something that you don't even know? You haven't even named it. You don't even know what it is. Or you're claiming you don't know what it is. Suspicious. Also, they had shots that were already sent, these mRNA shots already sent for this purpose. That's why they had so many shots available in a time when shortages were happening. Remember? Right? They had signage and they had shots and they had masks, and the shortage didn't stop any of those things. So they already had the protocol in the hospital, the very thing that was doing damage to people, actually. If you looked outside, people weren't just dying in the street. Okay. That's a pandemic. Losing 20 of your closest friends, that's a pandemic. People can say, I know somebody that died in that time period, but 20? Do you know 20 that died closely? No. That would be a pandemic. But we keep calling it a pandemic. So, and a national emergency. And their whole fight is over whether or not they get to control information in an emergency. Now, I don't know if people realize this, but the Department of Health and Human Services now has a bigger budget than our defense. That is a big deal. That is something that everybody needs to understand and look at, because what's coming? Why would you need that? Why? There's no solid reasoning for that whatsoever, unless there's things that are planned. And the reason I say planned is they wanted to control the information. Social media didn't fight them on fact producing, okay, and let them shut down comments by people. If we tried to put up any information at all, I was shut down numerous times for long periods of time when I tried to share actual factual information. So the government should never hold those cards. But also the government is trying to assume and give themselves this allocation of, we're the government, so we have everything factual and we have the best experts and the best information. I have never found that to be true, actually, at all. And as individuals, we have the right to go to who we want for our health logic, for what we want to do with our own bodies, and not be told by a body of government or a health department what to do with our bodies. The health department, the AP, Reuters, the government, the politicians all came out without question, and shared the information coming from the CDC and coming from the government as actual fact, when honestly, they honestly didn't know if it was. But they acted like it was. And you know what? Those entities, not a single letter of thank you for saving my loved one, because what they put out in volume, in mass, wasn't what was saving people. The people that would walk out of the hospitals were the ones doing the protocol, or lucky that they escaped the protocol given by the government. We live in America. We live in a free country. We are supposed to live in a free country. And when I look and I'm watching all of these things happening, and I'm seeing that we're having a conversation and a compromise, because we're going to end up compromising, and they're going to call it a good thing, a compromise on censorship in this country. That censorship should never be allowed to happen in the first place. Okay. You know, this week, you know, you have the Washington Post saying that, you know, Kamala must resign. And I'm not even a fan of Kamala. I detest Kamala. I think she's a pitiful, ignorant little soul. And she's proud of the fact that she slept her way to the top. I don't appreciate that. I don't like anything about her. I don't like one view of hers. I can't stand her as a human being. And everything that she has talked about or produced as a politician has been abhorrent to me. But the case is that we, you know, only had two people ever do that. We had John Calhoun, 1832, and we also had Spiro Agnew, who's under investigation. It's not something that happens, but they want it to happen because they want to be able to replace that party entity with a They want the party to replace the pick. And you're going to see this. You've seen this more and more happening. The parties ask the person to leave so they can produce the pick that they want, deny us an election. And then that pick has the chances, 98 percentile of being the incumbent that gets the nod for the position. They want to control who is president of the United States. So therefore, they want Kamala to leave so that they can produce the pick. And then something with Biden happens, and that VP then becomes the VP of their choice, then becomes the actual person in office. This is why the Washington Post, of all people, who are clearly behind Kamala, they like Kamala, they've been spewing Kamala at us for years, are now backtracking and trying to create a story to which she was a disappointment in her career. And that's why they're asking for the resignation. They're not going after Biden, just her, which is very telling. But with this, with the illegal case, with the Second Amendment, with the First Amendment, we have court cases that are, it's very apparent that they're sidestepping the reality that our social media companies are owned by the same entity pretending not to own them and creating this sort of these cases of the fact that, you know, they are not going to sidestep that. TikTok, I think, is the sacrificial lamb. TikTok is just like Instagram. You know, they keep saying Chinese product. I have a whole house full of Chinese products. The deluge of Chinese products in our homes. Give me a break. But they tried to demonize it like that. They tried to demonize it with Chinese products. And I think TikTok was picked. It's no different than Instagram, picked as the sacrificial lamb so that they could get censorship in on social media and then co-opt the entire internet. That's how they want to do it. They want to co-opt the entire internet and all of free speech with censorship. Social media, particularly TikTok, is the Trojan horse into that. Demonize TikTok, and then, of course, you can have your way, right? Because everybody wants to be saved from TikTok now. Pathetic. Thank you for tuning in to The New American Weekly with Kate Daly. Get over to thenewamerican.com and appreciate you tuning in to this show. Thanks for listening.